Next, we will be speaking with Jamie McLeod Skinner, another candidate in the Secretary of State Democratic primary. McLeod Skinner rose to prominence in 2018 when she challenged Republican Representative Greg Walden in the race for Oregon's 2nd Congressional District. She lost, though she came closer than any Democratic challenger before her. She currently holds both an elected and an appointed office in Oregon. She is an elected board member of the Jefferson County Education Service District and was also appointed by Governor Kate Brown as a board member at large for the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, which provides grants to restore and protect watersheds and habitat. So last time you spoke to KB News was back in January when the Secretary of State race and, you know, Oregon more generally was very different. Since the onset of COVID-19, has your approach to the race or your policy priorities changed at all?
Yes and no. The priorities and making sure voices are heard and making sure there's two-way communication with Oregonians across our state, that remains the same because that's critically important, and that's why actually I'm running for Secretary of State. When I talk about protecting our democracy and ensuring accountable government, safeguarding our natural resources, and helping rebuild our economy and communities after COVID-19, that all remains true. The approach has changed, and so the approach we've shifted to is live streams. And actually, we're the only campaign that is having these two-way communications that are open to the public, inviting questions from the public and responding, but also facilitating and hosting conversations with those voices who are not being heard right now. So whether it's folks from traditionally underrepresented communities, the Latinx community and farm workers and tribal communities and communities of color, and conversation on houselessness. Those are the conversations we need to be having because government is not currently accountable to all Oregonians, and that's something I want to change.
So the Secretary of State wears a lot of hats in Oregon government. It's different from other states in that way, but managing elections is oftentimes what comes to mind for people when they think of the Secretary of State. What do you see as the biggest threat to our election security right now?
Well, first of all, I really appreciate the fact that you recognize you're talking about all these different roles because it's important to have experience in all the different roles, and you don't have the luxury of just prioritizing one thing. And that's why having executive management experience is so critically important. Having experience managing staff and teams and budgets and many different priorities. So I really appreciate you pointing out that point. Specific to our elections, there's two things that are important. There's the election security and election integrity. The election security, part of that is, of course, cybersecurity and making sure our ballots are counted. We did a live stream just today on making sure people knew how to get their ballots in on time. Election integrity means making sure all voices are heard and we're bringing people into the process. It's making sure we're doing better outreach to communities that do not have as high a voter turnout right now. And I've got plans for all of that I've got on my website, jamiefororegon.com. But a huge piece of election security and integrity is the money in campaigns right now. And Oregon is one of the worst states in the country in terms of the money that can be dumped into races. And this is a big issue in the Secretary of State's race. And so we're seeing all sorts of money being dumped in. The newspapers have been covering this shadow PAC that's been supporting one candidate and calling out and criticizing myself and another candidate. And if you support a candidate, that's fine. But, at least don't hide behind an ambiguous name and be proud of who you're supporting. Stand behind it. Also as a candidate, someone's dangling money in your face, you should be able to call them out. The accountability piece is really important. So I'm the only one in this race who has never taken a corporate dime, and this is true since when I was first elected in 2004, never taken fossil fuel money, big pharma money. And that's a big deal here in Oregon across our state because our state's been devastated by the opioid crisis. So those have taken money from big pharma. It's shocking to me, actually. The Oregonian had a great article on this just yesterday talking about how I've raised the most in donations under $100. So I'm essentially a people power campaign. When you look at the average donations to all three campaigns, mine's less than $200. One is more than $800 and one is more than $6,000. And that's average contribution. And so if you think about who people would be accountable to, it really is a matter of following the money. And if folks are curious about how to do some of this research, we have a live stream on that as well that we did to show people how to use ORSTAR and find out where people's money is coming from and who essentially are we'll all be accountable to.
Yeah, I will clarify for the listeners that we spoke to Shamia Fagan yesterday about the political action committee that's supporting her, which is called Oregonians for Ballot Access, which has drawn some criticism for both its name and the ads that it's put up to seem as impartial as opposed to supporting one candidate.
What's also really interesting about that is we noticed this when it first came up. And of course, if you Google any of our names, any of the candidates in this race, they pay to have that ad pop up first. So it's a paid ad. And then also they've changed who is funding that. So they've switched around some of the different organizations. And so that, you know, if there's an organization that wants to support a candidate, again, just admit who you are and admit who you're supporting and be straightforward and transparent about it. The Secretary of State's job, of those many roles you mentioned, it's, you know, elections and audits and business registration and transparency of government records. And if you can't be transparent as a candidate, it really raises questions about your commitment to transparency in the role that is responsible for government transparency for our entire state.
So to pivot a little bit, one of the many duties that we've been discussing hasn't come up yet, but is sitting on the state land board. That's one of the things that the Secretary of State is tasked with. And you are actually a board member at large for the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board. What are your priorities for that state land board seat?
Well, thank you so much for mentioning this role, because this is one of the many roles that folks don't understand are part of this responsibility. And the state land board is three people, the governor, the secretary of state, and the state treasurer, and oversees our state lands, our state public lands, those that belong to all of us, and our waterways. It's a critically important role. My candidacy is also distinguished in that I'm the only candidate in this race who has been outspoken on not supporting the Jordan Cove pipeline, the LNG pipeline. And I want to be very clear that I'm absolutely committed to good paying living wage jobs, but we can get those without destroying our environment. And in this case, we have there's a pipeline that will have a devastating impact on our climate, massive greenhouse gas emissions. Will also disrupt along the pipeline route. Disrupt many tribal communities. Tribes have been out against this, and I think we need to respect our tribal communities and honor the treaty obligations we have and listen to them when there's concerns about these issues. We did a live stream on this as well. People can Google on either Facebook or on YouTube. And one of my speakers was actually the tribal chairman for the Klamath Tribes, who spoke specifically about the devastating impacts that this project will have on his community. This is a project that it's a private Canadian company. They couldn't get a pipeline through Canada. They couldn't get a pipeline through Washington State or California or even the northern part of our state. And so they're really doubling down on the southern part and the southern route. And I'm the only one who's been outspoken against it. And this is a huge issue for our state.
So the Secretary of State also heads the audit division, which you mentioned earlier. What is the importance of that role?
The bottom line is government accountability. So, this is something where I've got a lot of experience in both the nonprofit sector and the government sector, where I've served in executive management roles. I've overseen and been audited myself, but I've also served on an audit committee, so I've got a lot of experience in this area. It's how we ensure that government is being accountable to different communities. And so when I talk about audits, I talk about not just financial and performance audits, but also equity audits and sustainability audits, information security audits and safety audits. So, for example, on a safety audit, you know, once we've gotten through the COVID-19, we can look back and see if we responded well or not. But one of the most important parts of the audit process is making sure is this equity audit piece and making sure that we're looking at how our taxpayer dollars are being spent to ensure that it's done fairly and equitably to all our communities, because that's not happening right now. There hasn't been that perspective and that lens on how communities are being impacted. So one example, my wife and I live in Central Oregon. I serve on the Jefferson County Education Service District Board. And our communities in Jefferson County, the demographics is about a third, a third, a third, a third tribal, a third Latinx, and a third Caucasian. And right now with distance learning, our kids, a lot of our kids, and especially kids in the Warbsprigs tribe, are not getting access to education. That's an equity issue. And that's the kind of thing that can be daylighted and addressed and called out through the audit process.
And then once that information is revealed, it's for the legislature to deal with, would you say?
So the legislature allocates funds, and this is where, and some of these things we knew all along. This is no mystery, but it will be a formal report that goes forward. And so there hasn't been the commitment to focus on these areas before and allocate these resources. But yes, it will be brought to the attention of the legislature. Another thing that I've proposed doing, and this is, again, comes in from actually having experience with how government works, not just in talking about policy setting, but I've also proposed making changes to what are called KPMs, key performance measures, that is essentially the report card for state agencies, and making changes. This would be, I would propose this to the legislature. They would need to adopt it, but it would essentially establish an annual report out every year for the state agencies to make sure they're addressing the issues that we identify through the audit process.
Gotcha. Well, as we've spoken to, it's a very multifaceted position. And so in a race for Secretary of State, what do you think are the most important things for voters to keep in mind when they're making their decision?
Who the Secretary of State will be accountable for? Is there a track record of actually getting stuff done? And I have served underrepresented communities my entire life, from refugee and immigrant communities. And it's something I honor because of my own lived experience, coming out of the closet at a very early age, as a young adult. And I've actually passed legislation that helped to protect the transgender community back before it was popular for others to talk about it. In my 2018 run for Congress in 20 of the 36 counties, I brought Oregonians together to solve problems. So we need to move beyond the divisiveness we're seeing right now in the legislature, have leadership that helps represent all Oregonians, brings communities together to solve problems. So that experience, that lifelong commitment to actually getting stuff done, and the support. I've got support from individuals and organizations statewide, from former Secretary of State Gene Atkins to veteran and former DPO Vice Chair Valdez Bravo, Portland Commissioner Amanda Fritz, who's really interested in good governance, ethical governance. I've got from tribal community members, Gresham City Councilors Eddie Morales and Mario Palmero, Senator Jeff Golden, Representative Alyssa Kenny Geyer, Portland Public School Board member Michelle DePass, Pano, Rice's Sierra Club, Sunrise Movement. The environmental youth organizations have really stepped up and identified the leadership I'm proposing and providing for moving Oregonians together forward in the areas that we need to have a more equitable, fair, and responsive state to all Oregonians.
Have you found in the race that there are issues that don't get enough attention to your mind?
The campaign finance one is getting a lot of attention. That's important. The environmental one that you mentioned is important. I find it's often talking about the role, and you pointed out well that it's a very diverse role. There's also redistricting. So after, as of next year, we redraw our political boundaries. That doing that job and being able to do it in a way that's fair to all Oregonians is going to be really important. I've got a process that I've laid out for that. But right now, I think Oregonians and really Americans in general want leadership that is responsive to our needs, that gets us beyond this fighting match, that brings people together instead of being divisive. And that's part of this role. I mean, the Secretary of State's role is so critically important because the responsibility is essentially to make democracy work.
Well said. Do you have any closing thoughts for our listeners today?
So my name is Jamie McLeod Skinner. I'm running to be your Secretary of State. I would be honored to have your vote. If you want more info, check out my website at jamiefororegon.com. Please remember that your ballot must be received by Tuesday at 8 p.m., and in most places it's too late to put it in the mailbox, so you'll need to drop it off at a designated ballot drop box. And then also, let's stick together. We're all in a challenging time right now with COVID-19, but let's work together. We'll pull through this together, and we'll be okay. But right now we're setting the stakes through this election on who our future leaders will be. And I would be honored to have your vote for Secretary of State.
Well, Jamie, thank you so much for speaking with us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much. And take care. And thanks, KBOO, for all you're doing for our community.
We've been speaking with Jamie McLeod Skinner, a candidate in the Democratic primary for Secretary of State. More information on McLeod Skinner and her campaign is available online at jamiefororegon.com. Primary ballots are due by 8 p.m. on Tuesday, May 19th. It is recommended that all those who haven't voted yet drop their ballots at a drop-off site. Find your closest Dropbox online at sos.oregon.gov/voting. And if you've missed any of our election coverage, don't worry. It's online at kbu.fm/election2020. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.